in studio now. I have John Dunn from the Viking Sub Aqua Club. Good afternoon, John. How are you?
How are you doing, Owen?
Now, I just came across the Sub Aqua Club, the Viking, sort of accidentally. I was out in Malahide and I met one of your associates and he was telling me about the last expedition you have. But give us a bit of background to the Viking Club. How long has it gone?
The Viking Club has gone since 1976, which will be its 40th birthday next year. And it was formed out of a guy that learned how to dive with a club which are still in existence called Scuba Divers in Dalkey. And their membership was full. So he decided that he was a trainee and he'd know where to go. So he put an ad in the evening press looking for members to join form a club. And a few of the lads of the evening press who were associated with Inoga met in Coolmine Swimming Pool in around April of 1976 and formed the Vikings of Aqua Club.
Okay.
And it's been going strong ever since.
Okay, so you've been with them since. And you mentioned the equipment there. Is it still the tanks on the back of you and all that?
Yeah, the equipment hasn't changed in a long, long time. Mm-hmm. It has progressed, I suppose, in certain ways that we would have all started out using wetsuits and still use wetsuits today, but we also have dry suits,
yeah,
which would be, for all intents and purposes, look much the same, only no water gets in.
Yeah, I know you were telling me about that before you came on. I was just thinking of when you were saying that the dry suit, the scene in James Bond where he comes up out of the water, takes off the dry suit and he has a tuxedo on underneath, that sort of thing.
Yes, it would work that way, except it would be rather cold if that's the way you dressed under your dry suit. You would need what we would call a woolly bear, or to describe it to your listeners as a giant baby grow.
Okay. Now, the environment, has it changed over the 40 years, in both with equipment and also in the water itself? Because I was saying to you off air as well that a lot of more exotic creatures and all that sort of carry on coming into our waters now.
Well, there is.
Do you have to be more careful than you ever were?
Well, no, I wouldn't necessarily have to be more careful. What you will see in say, the likes of Dublin Bay, which has been cleaned up hugely over the last number of years, because up to, say, maybe 15 years ago, I'm not sure the date, but raw sewage was pumped into Dublin Bay on the ebb tide just under the summit in Howth, in Ballyscadden, and out by Dalkey. So the visibility of the water was terrible, and the quality of water was terrible.
Yeah.
But now with new sewage treatment, it has improved greatly.
Okay. Now, you're talking about the different places that you go to, like you mentioned Dublin Bay there, or we'd be talking about Cork in a few minutes, or Lambay Bay or whatever. Do you have to get permission when you're going out to say, look, we're going out here now today and we're going to be diving here and that sort of thing?
Well, permission, no. But what we would do is, when we're going out on our boat, we would radio in VHF to Dublin Radio, which is the Coast Guard. And we'd tell them that there were a number of divers on board and we were heading to the back of Lambay to dive on the Toilure.
Mm-hmm.
And 8 divers aboard, and our expected time of return would be a number of hours later.
Okay.
And then when we return, we radio back in and say we've returned safely.
Okay.
So it's just a protocol we go through for health and safety reasons.
Okay, so this is a good time to mention that you are inviting people to join the club if they're interested in any way at all. So what's the protocol? Is first of all, if someone says, yeah, I'd like to do that, but people don't want to think it's so easy, but training and how much is involved and all that?
Well, if people are interested in joining, it's quite easy. You just come up to our club session on a Wednesday evening.
Mm-hmm.
You get yourself introduced to a couple of our instructors, and we take it from there. We have a couple of times a year what we would call an open night, where we invite newcomers to come along and we try and train a bunch of people at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is reasonably fit. It's not a huge level of fitness needed, and we take you away and train you, which would consist of doing a lecture at 8 o'clock till 9 o'clock, and starting off with the basics of diving, and then going into a pool session then for another hour.
Okay, and you can look up VikingSubAqua.com for all information of joining. I asked you as well off air about, is there a protocol as regards how many people go down together? You know, you can't really go down on your own, can you?
No, we would have, and we would dive, and we would practice called a buddy system, which would be a minimum of 2 people.
Okay.
You could go as far as 4 if you increase your dive group to four, it becomes a bit more problematic of the dive leader trying to keep an eye on everybody. So two is ideal, four is enough.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of your equipment, I'm just reading here now, you have two power boats and a portable compressor, in addition to an air compressor and a nitrox compressor. Yeah. Explain to me what that's all about.
Well, we have 2 6.5 metre rigid inflatable boats with 150 horsepower motors on them, which are quite efficient craft, will go out in any sort of sea conditions, mm-hmm. and very stable and safe. They can fill to the top of water and still continue on and drain off.
Okay.
We have 2 compressors, one fixed in Cool Mine swimming pool where we fill our air, and we have an addition to that, which is on your list there, nitrox. And nitrox is where you enhance ordinary air with more oxygen.
Okay.
So without getting too technical, the air we breathe at the moment is, roughly speaking, 20% oxygen, 80% nitrogen. So you increase that a little bit to give you a more efficient dive.
And is there a limit to the depth you can go as well?
Well, with the association that we're involved in, we're involved with Underwater Ireland, or CFT, which is the Irish Gohara Fothin, we are limited to certain depths, again, for health and safety reasons, mm-hmm. and insurance purposes. But we would dive to 45 metres and then go extended range to 50.
Okay, and you've been in a lot of the waters over, or all over Ireland, obviously.
Well, that's the one good thing about diving with a club, that with regard to the coastal areas of Ireland, which our club over the years have been more or less everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere that's worth diving, we've been there.
Okay.
From Donegal to West Cork.
Any particular favourite spot?
Well, I'd say West Cork would have been my favourite location.
Okay.
Main reason, down to the amount of wrecks around Mizenhead and places like that.
Mm-hmm. And does that include, I mean, you were telling me as well that you've been abroad quite a bit, so does that include places you've been abroad?
Yeah, well, I've been abroad to Australia, the Red Sea, the Maldives Islands, which is all beautiful and tropical. You might as well be diving in an aquarium.
Mm-hmm.
But the old cliche, there's no place like home.
Yes, yeah.
And it's fantastic diving around Ireland, especially if you have interest in wrecks. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the visibility and the fish life isn't as good,
mm-hmm.
but the excitement is still there.
Yeah. When you say the visibility is not good, is that because of the vermin, but because of the amount of fish? Because you were saying abroad, like, it's like an aquarium. I imagine that can be a hindrance to vision as well, if there's too many fish in the water.
Well, it would be, of course, if you have a load of fish around. But normally you see the sun is higher in the sky, and the water would be that bit clearer. Due to the location of Ireland, because you've got the North Atlantic Drift, it splits at, say, Kerry, and it goes up, and silt is dropped.
Mm-hmm.
Around the Irish coast, and then you've got the Atlantic coming in, which is stormy, and that stirs up the bottom as well. So that's the reason for the lack of visibility, more so as you would see in the Maldives. Or
okay, I want to. I have in my hand an actual. Maybe you'll explain to our listeners. It's a bullet, but it's not live now, is it?
Absolutely not. No.
Okay, it's not going to blow up around.
No.
Tell me about this, and because there's a lot of history in our waters. You said, like, around Cork.
Absolutely. Well, recently we've been diving where the bullet has come from. A wreck called the Odd.
Mm-hmm.
And the Odd was a boat that came in from Germany with gun running for the IRA in 1916. And it was captured by the British Navy. And so the boat was scuttled in general area of Cork Harbour, and all your missions and boat was lost.
Mm-hmm.
So we were diving on that there recently, and there's any amount of arms on the bottom, as in redundant bullets, mm-hmm. and that, as you see in your hand, is one of them.
Yeah, and there's bombs and all down there, for God's sake, but they'd all be redundant now, wouldn't
either
they?
Either would, yes.
For instance, when you go, what sort of mission do you need to go there? Is there a protected site?
Well, before, sites over 100 years okay. are protected, and you have, by right, have to get a licence to dive on them.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be from UCAS or...
Okay, you were saying there a lot of wrecks down there. I mean, another one is the Taylor. Am I pronouncing that right?
Yeah.
And that was off Lambay Island. Yeah. What's the history of that? That's been compared to the Titanic, actually.
Well, the Taylor was a clipper ship, which is a sailboat, and it was leaving Liverpool, bound for Australia, with a cargo of willow pattern plates and crockery,
mm-hmm.
Slates, as in roof slates, and headstones for graveyards,
mm-hmm.
obviously unmarked. And it was heading, as I said, for Australia, but it was a first metal boat of its kind. And they hadn't understood at that time of the effect that metal had on a compass. So essentially they got lost on his maiden voyage. That's why he's probably compared to the Titanic, and it was meant to be the ship of its day.
Yeah.
And it got lost, leaving Liverpool, and ended up in a storm off the back of Lambay Island, and eventually, with his anchors out, broke anchors and ran aground, with the loss of it in around 300 people.
Have you been down to see that?
I've been down to see it loads of times. It would be, you know, a popular club dive. It went down in 1854, and the 21st of April.
In the case of both of them, there's 50 years between the Odd and the Taylor. What sort of condition would they be in? Pretty broken up, I imagine.
Oh, pretty broken up. It would look like, I suppose, a bit of a scrapyard. You wouldn't recognise them as boats as such. There's bits and pieces all over the place. You'll see big steam boilers, which could be as big as a box bedroom, for instance. There could be two or three of them scattered. You might see the ribs of the old boat and the plates are all to one side. A lot of the boats will break on descent, but then say the likes of the Taylor, unlike the Taylor then was up on rocks, so that went through years of being hammered because it's only at 15 metres, so it had effective wind and tide.
Yeah, talking about wind and tide, I mean, obviously you're experienced in what you're doing, being at it for so long, but I remember being out in Malahide and the water can look very calm on top, but then underneath it's I suppose like a lot of us inside as well, the duck with the feet underwater. So do you have to get to all the weather conditions and the water conditions before you'd head out?
You would, of course. A lot of areas will be tidal, whereas you say it looks quite calm on the top, which it is, but that water is moving. And it's moving, you could say, like a travelator. You can see it nice and flat, but it can be moving quite quick. So you could end up that you're trying to dive in a location, you're swept off somewhere else. And it can be, if it's planned, it's great. If you know you're going on what we call a drift dive, and you have Stouffer's marker buoy, and you just let the water take you where it wants, and the boat can follow you by the use of the marker buoy. If you don't want to be going where the tide is taking you, well then you're in trouble.
Yeah. So just to ask you then, the protected sites as they are they monitored? How are they protected from salvage, for instance, or is there anything worth salvaging on them?
Most of the wrecks that we would dive on, there's nothing worth salvage on them. It's scrap value, and there's no value on rusty metal. It's a blanket rule brought out by the Department of Marine and the salvage of wrecks, that anything over 100 years is not to be dived on, even though you could look at them and say, well, there's no point in having a restriction on it. But again, some of them may have historic features that need to be protected, and that's the reason behind it.
Is there a lot of wrecks going back further than the Taylor in 1854, would you know?
Oh, there is any amount of them, yeah. Off the top of my head, I can't tell you, there's a guy in our club, Eddie Burke is his name, and he's after writing about 4 books on wrecks around Ireland.
Okay.
And there's just any amount of them all over the place.
What's his name again?
Edward Burke.
Okay, so you can look up his name and get all the books.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the biggest thrill that we would have is actually, even though they're documented and the locations are known, is finding the wrecks ourselves. You know, you get a general location, like looking for a needle in a haystack.
Oh, I see.
So when you find it, that's the best part of the dive, is when you arrive and we're actually on the location where we want to be. And the rest of it then is just a rummage around the scrap site, in essence.
I saw something recently, a movie recently, The Black Sea, of course, a thriller about a German sub down under the water and all like that. And the hazardous of it's like a mountain terrain, in valleys and gaps. You have to watch out for all that as well, because obviously the boats are on the sea floor, are they?
They are, of course, and you have to be careful of your equipment. There is sharp, jagged edges that you don't get your equipment caught in. And even though most of the breathing air part of our equipment is quite robust, but then again, you don't want to get your hoses entangled in something and not be able to undo it. So it's important to be careful, yeah.
Okay. Isn't it an expensive hobby?
It can be, but it's like, I explained to you earlier, it's like somebody who wants to play golf. You can start off with a set of second-hand golf clubs and tip around and be inexpensive, or you can join the dearest golf club if you want and buy the dearest of gear. But if you really want to get going and you want to do it as cheap as possible, second-hand equipment is quite available, and you'll be, I'd say, diving for €500.
And I think as well, John, I mean, once you initially, the initial payment, then it's you don't have to keep upgrading it every year or every 5 years, stuff like that.
I started diving in 1970s, 78, and I've still got some of the equipment I started with.
Mm-hmm.
I've obviously upgraded suits, and you know, and the more experience you get, the deeper you want to go, the more equipment you have to get. But it's just for scenic, well, it's normal club diving. Ordinary, the run-of-the-mill equipment is good enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, as I say, the club's been going for 40 years and you've been very, very active, as and everyone in the club. I'm assuming it's getting much more proper. We know, for instance, that water sports above the water and even a little bit below have become very popular. Is it the same with the diving? Are more people getting more interested in it and want to do more?
Well, funnily enough, our club has got smaller over the years, and I think we're looking for the reason why, but I think that a lot of people have more options out there. When I started diving, it was a pure adventure.
Yeah.
And our club would have been up to 75 members at one stage, and we've about 30 members now.
Mm-hmm.
And because the dive itself is relaxed, but the whole activity around getting there and getting your equipment together is all quite hard work, I suppose.
Yeah. When you gave a comparison of golf, is it as time consuming as golf?
It would be.
Okay. Yeah.
Put it this way: for 40 minutes under the water, you're probably looking at, from again leaving your house in Castleknock to Howth, around trip of 4 to 5 hours.
Okay.
So, it does take up time, and that's only 40 minutes under the water.
Mm-hmm. And how long do you plan ahead? For instance, what part of the country you're going to? I mean, you meet every week.
We meet every week. Yeah, we would. Well, our standard diving would be done, especially this time of the year, we'd have a dive on a Tuesday or Thursday, Saturday or a Sunday. We'd have about 3 to 4 dives a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then an activity of going down the country, that would be well planned. That would be more or less around long weekends. And mm-hmm. we'd start out with a dive calendar for the year. So yeah. That would be set out. And
it must be very, very exciting, though, when you come across something like the Taylor Uber, especially the odd, and you're able to come up with the bullet here. I have it in front of me. Yeah. I mean, look at the size of that thing. For God's sake, that going into you. What?
You wouldn't get up
3 inches. Anyway. No, you certainly wouldn't. But it must be very exciting when you go down and do something like that.
Oh, it is. It is exciting, and it's exhilarating. You know, that's and again, I suppose it's not for everybody. But that's, like I said, I'm practically 40 years doing it, and every time I come across a wreck, even though I've dived it before, I just still get a buzz, and it's fantastic. And the camaraderie that it builds among the friends, and the whole day out and the trip, it's a wonderful pastime.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and give us all the details again. I'll give out the website. I have it here. I know I have it here. TheVikingSubAqua.com, that's what it is. Yeah. And you meet every Wednesday night where?
We meet every Wednesday night in Coolmine Swimming Pool. We meet for lectures at 8 o'clock and we go for a swim and training at 9.
Okay, I see the anchor. Is that still down there or did you get that up as well?
The anchor from which one?
It was recovered off the yacht.
Oh no, it's still there, yeah.
It's still down there. They're going to be cleaned up, aren't they, and put on display?
I don't know.
Dave, yeah.
I don't know that aspect of it. I can show you pictures.
I was reading somewhere as well. Yeah, yeah. But no, just people to keep an eye out for it anyway and look up the website and see all of that. Anyway, it's been a pleasure having you in, John. Is there anything else you want to say to our listeners, a plea out there for anyone wants to join?
Well, if you're interested in joining, please give us a call or send us an email. You'll get the links on the website, and you're more than welcome. And we like to see new members joining, because part of our charter, I suppose, is to promote the sport, and mm-hmm. that's the way the clubs operate. There's two ways of learning how to dive. You can go through what they call PADI, which is Professional Association of Dive Instructors, which is you pay as you go.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a number of schools which are quite good, and there's nothing wrong with their training, but you pay to do a particular course, and you want to advance, you pay again, and you want to go out every Sunday, you pay mm-hmm. again. Where you can join a club, pay a subscription per annum and learn through that way. And I would say it's a friendlier, and you're with your friends.
Okay.
And it's a friendlier and nicer way to learn to dive.
And have you got photographs of the bullets and the anchor and all that up on your website?
I don't know.
Okay. I'd say you probably do. I was talking to Roger, I think, and he was
Roger and Robin. They look after the
I think
website.
They're going. I think they're going around the schools as well with some of examples of it. Anyway, congratulations. It's great. It's absolutely terrific. Will you be going down there again?
Oh, to West Cork, of course, yeah.
Okay.
It's hopefully again this year.
Okay.
We normally take a week out and do a bit of diving around some location.
Okay, it's been a great pleasure having you in, and I'll give all the details out again. But John Dunn, the Viking Subaqua Club, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.